Thank you for the last, well, this week as well, but obviously the last 3 weeks of putting up with a Baptist minister. You've actually forced me to put a tie on this morning. I don't mean that. This is my choice. But just don't tell the Baptist Union that I've put a tie on this morning. It's a real privilege to be able to break bread with you later on. And thank you for that privilege. And also for the last 3 weeks. And we will open our Bibles at Jude. We're almost at the end of it. You're like, yes. Somebody was saying, tell us some good news. Tell me some good news. I'm like, well, you wouldn't start with Jude, would you? If you were going to tell folks some good news today. And if it wasn't for that last wee minute in the football last night, we'd have had some great news to tell. You know, we'd have had some great news, you know. But the good thing is we can go back to the faith. We can go from that high yesterday, that mental high, almost threw my daughter off the off my lap. anyway, that was fine. She's okay. But and then I almost throttled her. But that's a good thing. We can always go back to the Bible and find ourselves in there somewhere. But again, thank you for the last 3 weeks. And please, as much as we are spoken through Jude, it is not about this church. It is written for the churches, but also it's how we live our life based from verse 3. Verse 3 is so, so important that we grasp that we are contenders for the faith. All right? That we are contenders for the faith, not our faith. But the faith, okay? And we build everything that we've done the last 3 weeks from there. But let's read God's word together, and then we'll get into it. But, dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, verse 17 here, they said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and who do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothes stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, her Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. And we do pray a spoken blessing on our word this morning. As we have walked through Jude, we have seen just a wee brief recap as we move into it this morning. I was telling you that the first week I only had 3 points, and then last week I had a few points with some sub-points. This week I've got 3 points, and one of them's got 3 sub-points. Okay? Alright? Well, I'll leave you guessing to where that's all going to fit in this morning. But our first week we found out that Jesus, that Jude is a servant, and a servant is humble. If we are going to follow this faith, we need to be humble and know that we are called and kept by Jesus. And the verse 3 was very important, that we soak in the word of God, that we are contenders for the faith entrusted to us. God's word has been entrusted to us, written, and it's no need in change. That is entrusted to us. We are his servants. And last week we saw how servants stand in times of these. In times of these, as we mentioned, in times when others fall away. Israel fell away, the angels fell away, and we know that Sodom and Gomorrah fell away. And a servant stands firm in these days when they come up against big characters who are forcing themselves upon you, such as we've seen in the scripture, Cain, Korah, and Balaam. These guys are all big characters. The servant stands firm in these moments against Cain, Korah, and Balaam by holding on to the faith. A servant, and we saw last week, I hope you didn't have that image in your head all last week about me having a bath, but you know, who didn't go out and buy a bath bomb? No, because We don't do drive-through Costas. We don't do quick showers. We take time to soak in the Word of God. All right, we have a bath. A bath takes time to prepare. And we're going to read Scripture. We need to take a bit of time to read them and prepare ourselves mentally, spiritually, and yes, probably physically as well, to read the Scriptures. A servant equips themselves to sit and to soak in the Word of God. Quick showers are no enough. All right? They're no enough, definitely no enough. And then we've seen in verse 9 in Jude as well that a servant doesn't judge. Michael never judged the devil when they had the conversation. And so if the best angel doesn't judge, then where does it leave us? We cannot judge people, even though we find them in this world, such as the Sodom and Gomorrahs, such as the Cains, such as the people that we encounter in our lives. We're no called to judge. We'll leave the judging, as Michael did, to God. And that's no easy to say, and I hope you've wrestled with it. So here we are. We're almost at the end of Jude. And you're like, hallelujah, Wally's back next week. Right? And we see here in verse 17 that everything that's gone before us in this book, everything that's gone before us, all the wrestling, all the stuff that's like heavy, we've seen it all before. It's no new. A servant has seen it all before. You have seen all this stuff before. Surely we have. Surely we've seen it all before. Paul warns about the sheep and wolves closing. Yeah? Yes. John writes about the false prophets. We've seen it before. We've seen it in Scripture. In the last times, there will be scoffers. In these moments, there will be scoffers having a go at you. Nothing new. Matthew 24:4, I'm going to get that and read it to you because it's more important, even though Paul says it, he's not the fourth person in the Trinity, by the way. All right, there's only three. But Paul's wrote some good stuff. But Jesus, more importantly, says this, Matthew 24:4. Let me read it to you. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. We'll leave that there just now, but you get the idea. Jesus is even warning us about the false prophets. Jesus is even warning about folk who come in his name. And yes, you've probably got them in your own lives. You've probably had them in the church. You probably had them. It's nothing new. You see, if we're going to contend for this faith, if we're going to stand up for this faith, you need to understand, this is no new. The time we're in right now is not new. That's why it's recorded in the Scripture. You can go back in history. History tells you, as well as Scripture tells you, these moments are not new. New Age, the New Age movement. Not new. It's way back then, back in the day. It's all there. Spiritualist churches. Doesn't add up. But it's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. See, the servant knows that this is not new, that we've seen it all before. And if we go back to look at verse 12 there, waterless clouds in this text, really interesting. I mean, and these metaphors, they stand out a wee bit. They're powerful. Now, I don't need to tell you in Scotland, we know about clouds. Don't we? We know what rain looks like. All right, now see on Wednesday, I could live in Scotland forever if I just went by Wednesday. Because Wednesday was lovely. Right? There was some wee lovely wispy clouds. I looked out, I'm in my house, I can look out and see Castlemilk. It's not the best view. Right? But I can look out, if I go that way, I can see Ben Lomond. And on Wednesday, I can see Ben Lomond. Right? And it was lovely. And see these wee clouds? Now you know, right, that wee cloud in the sky has got nothing in it. Right? You know that's got nothing in it. See on Thursday. Right? Right? I couldn't even see the house across the road from me. Right? I know what that cloud's got, right? We know that cloud's just going to put about a million litres on top of my head. Right? We know that cloud. Yeah? And you know, the whole image of this cloud coming in, this wee cloud in the Scripture here that comes in, and it's got nothing in it. And if you live in a land that's dry, and you're hoping for rain, and you see this wee cloud in the distance that comes, there's absolutely nothing. See the false hope in that? See the false hope in that? People come with false hopes. People hang on to false hopes. Right? This is no new. See, the clouds that come in with nothing in them, that's no new. We know clouds. We get the idea of clouds. We get this. Right? That these clouds come in with nothing. And they leave with nothing. They just bring false hope in. And then they go. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. Then they go. You know, in dry land, seeking water, seeking life. You see the false hope that the scoffers bring. They bring false hope. Nothing. Simple. There will be divisions. Church of Scotland knows about divisions. Yes? We do. Alright? We know about divisions. It's nothing new. It is nothing new. Now, there's don't take this the wrong way, there's the Free Church, yeah? And then there's the United Free Church, and then there's the other United Free Church, and then there's the Free Church against the United Free Church. Divisions are nothing new, that's what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I mean? And underneath it, I hope we all have a deep, deep care and love of Jesus. That's a big thing. You see, a servant, see, it's nothing new. Splits in churches are nothing new. Yeah? We've got the Baptist Church, we've got the Baptist Union. We've also got folk who call themselves Baptists in Scotland, and they're not under the Union, because they've came away. Right? And they're community churches now. It's a split. Yeah, it's still a split. But, you know, there's nothing new. So church getting splits are nothing new. We've seen it before, scoffers and divisions. It's written in Scripture. Mixed messages. No wonder people are confused. Get back to Scripture. Soak in it, sit in it. And sooner or later we'll figure out. Jesus is Lord. We remain fixed on verse 3 to remain true to the faith. Our minds and our hearts will not be swayed by worldly stuff or scoffers. We have seen it before. We stand firm in our faith. This tag's annoying me. I had to download how to tie a tie this morning. Right, so we contend with the faith as servants of Christ. This is my second point now, right? Right. The servants contend for the faith by going searching, right? And this is some of my sub-points, just to let you know. Right, so in verse 22, 23. All right, we'll just work through this a wee bit. A servant is bold. All right, a servant is bold. It takes boldness to confront people in your family about your faith. Right, it does. It takes boldness. It takes boldness to speak to the people about Jesus without being seen as a nutter. I need to tell you about Jesus. And it's how we go into that conversation that actually matters, rather than the conversation itself. Especially in today's society, compassion has to be demonstrated, and that takes boldness. To show love to someone in your family who's turned their back on you. To show love to someone in your family who's stolen from you. To show love, you know, to somebody in your family. My brother's in Berlin, right? And I struggle to show love to him. And I'm just being honest. Because I know what he's done. But I am a believer of Christ. I have to work through that. And I urge you to work through the stuff in your life you need to work through. You see, it takes boldness. It's bold. You have to stand up and be counted. Do you know what I mean? I know that we're called believers in Christ, right? But we've got to show it, and we've got to work through it. A servant is bold. Do you mind if I pray for you? Do we say that to each other? Because that's a very small sentence, but it takes a lot of, don't know if I can say that or no, do you know what I mean? To do it, doesn't it? How many times do you mind if I pray for you? It takes boldness. You know, we've got in my fitness class, got lots of people, and they contact me, Dave, going to say you wanted a big man, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and pray for me, I'm doing this, pray for me, I'm doing that. It's no a problem, right? But for me to go to them and say, look, do you mind if I pray for you? That's a bit harder, but that's okay. You know, you need to work through these things. And you know, this whole thing about earning the right to tell people about Jesus, that's a challenge. You have to earn the right to tell Jesus, people about Jesus by getting alongside people, by actually getting out of your comfort zone and sitting beside someone or doing something different at work, in your life, whatever it takes. You get someone and you hear their stories first. You hear their stories because everybody's got a story to tell. You hear their stories and then you can, then you've got the right to say, I've been there. Then you've got the right to say, I know what you're talking about. And you know, the only thing that helped me was my faith. Now, you don't need to go into this big spiel about reading Mark. All right, you don't need to say, and by the way, have you read this Bible? You just need to, I call it giving people a bit of toffee. All right? You give somebody a bit of toffee, they might want the whole bar. But you give them a bit of toffee. You know, people will say to me, Dave, been there, done this, done that. You know, and I'll say, I've been there myself. And it's empty. And that's where I'm thankful for my faith. And I leave that hanging there. Or I say to folk, oh, I've been away to church today. And I'll leave it. I don't say I'm away to church, I'm sang 19 songs. And the sermon was a bit dodgy. I don't say that. I just say, I was at church today, and I'll leave it. And then they might turn around and say, you don't go to church. Aye, I do. I go to church. What do you go to church for? They're all full of nutters. No, it's no. I find a lot of comfort in it. See how the conversation starts? Sometimes you get called a nutter, but that's okay. We called worse. By folk in church. Right? So you know what I mean? It takes boldness just to leave a bit of toffee there. You know? It's like, you know, if you give a wee moose a bowl of milk, it'll come back and want a bit of cheese next. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? So it starts slowly. You need to earn the right to build up a relationship with someone. And don't think, that's no me. All right? Because I've got a great team at Kifkat, right? And you know what I love is seeing them getting out of their comfort zone and having conversations with people folk that I can't have a conversation with. You know? And that's amazing. And to see them stepping out the boat, so to speak, it's amazing. And you guys will know people that I'll never be able to reach. Do you know what I mean? I'm going back to my church next week. I'll not see you again for a couple of months. I'm back in July, by the way. Right? Book your holidays, yeah. But you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's like, it takes boldness. It takes boldness. You know, when you hear other people's stories, and then you speak into it, you know, you say, I've been there, and this faith thing really helped me get through that. Or, listen, I'm hearing your story, can I pray for you? Or, I'm going to keep that in prayer. It just leaves people with a wee bit of prayer. You know, prayer works. It does. You know, when I played professional football with guys who were Christians, and they all used to say to me, they were praying for me. And I know that they'd be blown away right now if they knew that I was standing up here in love with Jesus. They would be absolutely blown away. And that was 20, 30 years ago. They'd be blown away. You know, but people were praying. You know, Jesus sat with a woman at the well. A Samaritan woman. Scum. Scum. He sat with the most unlikely woman. And you know what he did? He sat down. Why? Because I'll show you what he did. He didn't go like this to her. Didn't he stand over her? He sat right beside her and he looked her in the eye. He sat down because when you sit down, you're non-confrontal. You don't need to be, you're not looking for a fight then, are you? He sat down. He made it easy. How you doing? You know what I mean? He sat down. He made it easy. Right? But that took a lot of boldness. You know, you sit down beside someone. It's a lot easier than standing over them. You sit beside someone, you hear their story. A servant is compassionate. There's my other wee point, verse 22. I don't know what compassion looks like to you, or as we see it here, it's mercy. Right? People take the wrong turn, but you can see the compassion here from Jude to the people. People take the wrong turn. Go easy on people. We need to go easy on them. You know, we need to go after those who take the wrong turn and be gentle with them. He calls it mercy. And we know that his mercies are new every day. We know that Jesus' mercies are new every day because we need them to be. Because we fail. And we sin. His mercies are new every day. You know, in the NIV, it suggests that we pluck them from the fire. God has a track record of showing mercy. Even when we go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, Amos 4, verse 11, right? You can look it up later. He plucked some of them out of the fire. And you know what he did? They went right back to their sin. But he plucked them out the fire. Why? Because he showed compassion and mercy. And yet, the world got a hold of them and away they went again. You know, we need to be gentle, we need to show compassion, and we need to show mercy. Because people stray. Things to me, I was the best strayer of them all. I strayed. You know, and the rich young man came running to Jesus. Remember that? He did that very un-Jewish thing. He lifted up his clothes and he ran. And he showed his wee white legs. And he ran. And he says, look, I've got all this stuff. And Jesus says, nah, get away. And he went away sad. And you know, Jesus looked at him and loved him despite knowing the guy's heart. Compassion. He showed mercy. If he can do it, surely we can do it as well. You know, I believe the harvest is now. I'm a big fan of that. Who in your life needs to know Jesus, needs to hear the gospel, needs plucked from the fire? And you know, the thing is, a lot of folk in my life, and my class, my fitness class, and the community that's in that, come to church. They come to church, right? And they sit where you are, and they hear this, right? And they go, Dave, it's not for me. You know, and that just hurts me. It's not for me. It's not my call to judge them, though. It's my call to love them. You know, and they come and they hear the gospel and they go away. Oh, man. And some of them are very honest. It's not for me. And some of them, hallelujah, have gone through the waters of baptism and are part of our church now, and that's a blessing. But they go away. And you know, I still love them anyway. And that's the thing. We need to still show compassion and mercy. Even if they come to see this, what goes on here on a Sunday, and they think, I'm not interested. We still need to show them love and compassion. We need to continue to pluck them from the fire. And a servant, my wee third sub point here, a servant is called to go after the lost. We're called to go after the lost. You know, John Miller. I don't need to tell you about John Miller. You should know who John Miller is, yeah? Everybody knows who's John Miller is. When I was at school, I just called him Mr. Miller. All right, I grew up with John Miller. And he's a friend. And he had this wee lassie who worked for him called Jill. Jill Clancy. Don't know if anybody knows Jill. She went to the church down in down the water, down the coast. Can't remember the name of it now. But it's down, she got called down there. And then she went to the Red Row Flats. And then she went to Ayrshire. And then she's now just stepped in for that role as a minister. And she's going to the Ballinney. So she might even be my brother. But anyway, that's another story. But she's going to Ballinney now as the chaplain, right? So Jill Clancy, Jill Gibson, Jill Clancy, she chapped my ma's door one day, right? When I came back from Australia. And chapped my door. And I'm like, look, if you're a Jehovah Witness, you can just go, right? And she wasn't. She says, no, I'm your ma's minister. I'm like, okay. In you come. So, and she came in, right? And I'd just come back from Australia. I had left my life there, and I came back, and I was starting with another job. And my mom was away out to the bingo, and I'm like, right. So she came into the house, this wee lassie and me in the house, and I'm like, right. She goes, my mom's not here, right, that's fine. And then I said to her, what's your background? So she goes, Aberdeen. And I says, I used to play for Aberdeen years ago, right? I used to play football for Aberdeen, I did, right, lots of years and years ago. And she says, I was at Aberdeen. I says, in fact, I've got tickets for Rangers Aberdeen this Sunday. Do you want to come? And she's like, I'm kind of working on Sunday, right? Right? And I'm like, it's okay, it's in the evening, it was an afternoon game. She's like, okay, I went, right? So I went, I took Jill to the football, right? Me and Jill went to the football, right? And you'll know right this, it was 50,000 people, right? And we walked into the stand, and this wee guy, he was rather gone with it, right? And he said to her, he says, God loves the Glasgow Rangers, right? And Jill turned around and said to him, and God loves you. And I thought, Christians. Anyway, so we sat down and then you'll not believe us, right? But Jill became one of my best pals, right? Jill and I became best pals, and she showed me what Jesus looked like without wearing a collar. You see, I was lost. My life was a mess. I was insecure. and I had didn't have one girlfriend, but I had a couple of girlfriends. And it was going well, as long as they never met. You know, and I was my insecurity though. I was my insecurity. I was lost. Right, that's where I was. And Jill loved me despite all that. And we had some great chats about faith. Right? We had some great chats about faith. And then one Christmas I thought, I better go to church, because it's Christmas. Jesus' birthday and all that. And I went to church. You know what happened? Nothing. Utterly disappointed, so I was. So I came away, and I still had this friendship with Jill. And Jill met Frank, her husband. And we helped clean the manse and do all that stuff. And we painted the manse. And we went to we had a party in the manse, right? Don't tell them. But we had a party in the manse. And the night, and the Sunday night, and the Saturday night, and I stayed. And they were going to church on the Sunday, and I was coming home. And I got in my car. It was a Escort. Always remember it. It was a wee Escort, a wee Ford Escort. And to this day, the Holy Spirit was in the car with me. You wouldn't believe it. And it was pulling me back. Going, you need to go to church, I'm like, sack. And I could feel it, right? I could feel this pull in the car going, you need to go to church. Whatever this girl's got, you need to get a grip of. You need to get a hold of it. So I came back to Glasgow, right? And I came back to Glasgow at 1 o'clock. And as you all know, churches are shut down by that time. All right? And I lived just here in the Baptist church. And that night, I went into the Baptist church and gave my life to Jesus. Right? And hallelujah. Because I was lost. And I needed the Holy Spirit to come upon me and to change my life. And we need to go after the lost. But you see how Jill did it? She showed me who Jesus was without getting a Bible out. She showed me what love was. She showed me understanding. She loved me as I was. She cared for me as I was. And, you know, I've been at our inductions. And she's been at mine. She spoke at her wedding. And all that kind of stuff. She's a dear pal. And she's never changed. She's still the same Jill. Still the same Jill. And show people who are lost what Jesus is meant to look like. And something happens. It might not happen in your time, but something will happen. And my story goes on from there. But the story was that Jill found somebody who was lost, and she showed that person who Jesus was. And in that, Jesus became very real in my life. And you know, praise God for that. A servant contends for the faith by being bold, by showing compassion, and going seeking the lost. And finally, hallelujah, you're saying. A servant knows that God keeps him. Now I know that 2-3 weeks ago I told you that you're kept by Jesus. But a servant goes about, and if everything in the world that we've seen in this text, this whole chapter, this whole book, a servant knows that throughout all of that, they're kept and that God keeps them. God keeps you. In all these moments, who's worried about the election? Who gets stressed on Thursday morning? Who thought no chance? Eh? No? Who's worried about money? Who's worried about their health? Who's worried about their family members? Who's worried about all that? Who's suffering through all that? That throughout all these moments, God keeps you. Who worries about the world? I think we all do, to some extent, right? But it shouldn't keep us awake at night. You know, he doesn't sleep. That means we're allowed to. You know what I mean? His feet will not slip, even though ours do. You know, it's knowing that throughout this whole book, that you're loved and kept by Jesus. Throughout all these moments, the boldness moments, the compassionate moments, the mercy moments, the time when you go seeking the love, when you take yourself out of your comfort zone, please know that you're kept by Jesus. He sweats the big stuff. We don't need to. You know, as they say, when you do a marriage talk and you say to the guy, you make the big decisions. You decide if you're going to put the bins out at night or in the morning. Right? And you let the wife make the other decisions. Where you're going to go on holiday. Right? Where your kids are going to go to school. You know what I mean? You see that, right? And you see the wee bit of fun in that. But you know that Jesus will sweat the big stuff. All right? We don't need to. And I know that that's wrong to say that in a certain way, because people worry. We need the stress in our life that keeps us going. But please, leave the bigger stuff to Jesus. Commit it to Him. All this stuff. And I know the Church of Scotland knows about separations. I know we wrestle with all these things. We remain true to the faith, though. God's in charge. And if He wasn't, then we're in trouble. But we need to go back to the Scriptures and sit in it and soak in it and spend time with God in our worship and in our prayer life. And when we break bread, we spend time with God. When it gets heavy, we commit it to God. He's got all the stuff. He's got everything we need. And it's trusting in Him. It's trusting in Him. You know, you ever see that Indiana Jones movie? Right? When his dad gets shot. Right? I'm not going to spoil the ending. But his dad gets shot, right? And Indiana Jones has got to go across this big gap. And it looks like a big gap. And he's got to take that leap of faith. And what does he do? He speaks hand there. It's all kind of... And we know it's Hollywood, but you get the idea, don't you? He takes that step. He's like, oh, you're a dancer. Right? And he goes. He takes that step of obedience. And he goes. And his feet don't fall. He doesn't stumble. You know? He knows that there's a bigger power. We got to get our ideas right. There's a bigger power. You know? We got to get that. The guys were speaking last week. Alan and his team were speaking. The girl was speaking about being positive. I don't know if you heard it. The young lass, I don't know if she's here today. She was speaking about being positive and being positive. You can't be positive your whole life. Can't it happen? You can't be happy your whole life. Who knows sorrow? Who knows loss? Who knows sadness? Who knows despair? You see, we can't be happy. Alright? We can't be happy. We'd love to be happy, but it just doesn't happen. We can't be positive all the days of our lives. But we do know that when sorrow hits us, when the dark days hit us, God is our comforter. God is our shade. God is our keeper. We walk with that image that God keeps us through our valley days as well as leads us to our calm waters. Do we get that? I think I've said enough. You know, we are servants who live by the faith, who contend for the faith, who are called to stand up to the scoffers. It's not new. Church divisions are not new. They are as ancient as the Bible. A servant is bold, be bold. A servant shows compassion, be merciful. A servant chases the lost, take that step of faith. And a servant knows that during all of these days, everything that's going on in your lives, in our lives, in the life of the church, in the lives of our community, that we are kept by Jesus. We are contenders of the faith. They are entrusted to you. Go show it. Go live it. Go be it. In Christ's name. Amen.